Thank you, Chandra, for the wonderful rendition. Fathers say, oftentimes in the Christian faith, becomes awkward because during the past 30 years, we've had a problem talking about God. And calling God Father has become a problem for some people. But this morning, I want us to kind of go beyond that, because when we say God is Father, we're also saying God is Mother. We're also saying God is Brother and God is Sister. God is Mother Nature. You know, God is bigger than any name we can put on God, any tag that we can stick by God's name. They just are so small. But this morning, I'd like for us to think about God as Father. And this is what I want to ask you to do. Now, I have 20 minutes to preach, right? But I'm going to give you 10% of my time because you're going to have a chance to share with one of your partner, how has God been like your father? Now, some of you might spend your 30 seconds talking about how God is not like your father. Well, you can do that, but I hope you can share how has God been like your father. All right, so I'm going to give you 20 seconds to think about that, and then you'll have 30 seconds to share with one of your neighbors, and then back the other neighbor can talk about that. All right, so you have 20 seconds. Start thinking. All right, I heard those wheels churning. So, 30 seconds, share with your neighbor how God is like your father. All right, go ahead. Okay, you can switch now and the other person can talk. All right. All right, thank you. I noticed that some fathers and sons were talking also, so I hope that it was a good opportunity for you to share something from your experiences. Oftentimes we find our own life experiences in the family affects the way that we think about God or talk about God. And of course, that's both good and sometimes a problem. But I think it's mostly good because when I think about Jesus and Joseph, the way Jesus always spoke about God as Appa, Papa, Daddy, reminds me that he must have had a wonderful relationship with Joseph, a man who had adopted him as his son, yet who, in his love towards Jesus, shows something so special about love, that Jesus ends up talking about God's love as Father's love. A man suffered a serious heart attack and he was taken to the hospital for an open heart surgery. And he woke up from the surgery to find himself in a Catholic hospital surrounded by nuns. As he was recovering, a nun came by to question him about how he was going to pay for the hospital bill. "Do you have health insurance?" she asked. "No." No health insurance. Well, do you have any money in the bank? He shook his head. No money in the bank. Do you have any relatives who could help you? She finally asked. Well, I only have a spinster sister. She's a nun. And of course, the nun got angry and she said, Mister, nuns are not spinsters. Nuns are married to God. All right, the man croaked. Send my bill to my brother-in-law. How are we related to God? Are you related to God? On this Father's Day, we use that very familiar term, Father, to refer to God. But the fact is, they tell us that only 1% of us, we Americans, feel comfortable enough to talk about our faith or about God. 99% of us just feel uncomfortable, or we don't say much about our relationship to God. So the question then becomes, how are we related to God? Is it that we have a tough time really defining who God is or understanding what God is so that we feel uncomfortable? You know, traditionally, we in the church have said that there are three books about God, three books that tell us something about this God our Father, that we worship and we try to follow. And you've known about these books, so I'll simply go over them very briefly. The first book is what you might call God's autobiography, and that's the book of nature. When you go out in the nature, you feel as if you're seeing God presenting God's self to us. You know, when we were traveling across the country, Chris and I had a chance to visit 15 of our 58 national parks. That's only a quarter of our national parks. But seeing those 15 national parks just amazed us at the beauty of God's nature, the trees, the diversity of life. I particularly remember us in southeastern Utah when we went through the Canyonlands National Park. I don't know if any of you have been there, Canyonlands. Yes, you enter that park through a narrow gate made by these huge rocks that jut up in the sky. And as you enter in, you feel like you're entering Holy Land because you will see off close and far these huge stone cathedrals. And you know that they've been around for millions of years, they tell us. And they've seen world, they've seen things come and go, they've seen human beings, and they are still there. It was as if when we entered the place, nature started a dialogue with us. So Chris and I, we turned on our favorite country and western gospel CD and turned it up and we sang together, and it was as if God was speaking to us through nature. Wonderful that God has given us this first book. But then the problem is we have the Canyonlands, but then we also have things like Sandy Hook and all the disasters, the earthquakes, the hurricanes. And so we wonder, well, what is God like? Is God like the Canyonlands, or is he like the horrible tsunami which took life away from 100,000 people? So the first book may give us some questions more than answers what God is like. So then we turn to the second book, which we usually call God's biography, the four Gospels about Jesus in the New Testament. This tells the real story about who God is really like. Jesus, the face of God, we say, the human face of God. And we read the Gospels and we feel like as if we know what God is really like. But then today we have scholars who tell us, well, we don't know what Jesus was really like. Those words weren't even written by Jesus. Maybe they were just figment of people's imagination. Or do we really know that Jesus lived? Or if he really said those things? Even with a biography of God, we still have questions. We aren't quite sure, can we really trust this God? Is God really like Jesus? Then, of course, we have the third book, the whole of Scriptures, this anthology of God. The Scriptures have poetry, history, you name it. The Scriptures, all kinds of writings from many, many generations of people. And we can see that through all of them, the people had this relationship to God, and they wrote about it. Some of them were happy. Others were disappointed. Others questioned God. But through them all, we feel as if we have somehow got a glimpse of God. Somehow we know this God. Yet, we realize these are folks who lived in cultures that were so different from us. In fact, they tell us that Jesus spoke Aramaic. But the words of Jesus that we have are in Greek. So we don't even know one single word that Jesus said. Of course, we know the word Abba. That's Aramaic for Papa, Daddy. That's a human language, isn't it, of all the babies. But other than that, even the records about Jesus are written in a language that he did not speak. So people question, well, can we really trust the Bible to tell us who God is like? In recent decades, we've had great controversies about social issues. And people on both sides of the aisle would bring the Bible and say, look, this is what the Bible says, and they would quote the Scriptures to us. Of course, the other side has the same Bible, and they would point to other verses in the Bible and say, but look, the Bible says this. This must be the truth. So then we end up with these Scriptures, and we say, well, can we really trust the Scriptures? Do they really take us to this God? I don't have to mention to you these controversies that have broken the church in many places. First, it was alcohol, women's place in society, homosexuality, social justice, race relations, you name it. Scriptures seem to say one thing, but other people can interpret those in another way. So which book can we really trust to tell us the story of God, to tell us the real face of God? In 1991, I was part of the National Council of Churches, and we organized the first delegation of Christians to visit North Korea, which even today is facing many problems and has major headaches for us Americans. But in the delegation of 25, we had several Korean Americans who had never met their relatives who were living in North Korea. I had one friend, a minister friend, in Chicago. He was about my age. He had never seen his uncle because he grew up after the war. But somehow letters were exchanged, and it was said that my friend would be able to meet his uncle when he went to North Korea. So my friend was very excited that he would finally get to see his uncle because his dad had always wanted to meet his brother, but the war had separated them, and for 40 years there had been no letters, no conversations, no visits. So he was so excited to go and see his uncle. We got to North Korea, and one day was made for family reunions. Now, I grew up in South Korea, so I didn't have any family, and there was no one that I was looking for. But most of the people in the delegation had family. So as people walked in the hotel to meet our delegation, and they began to look around to find their family, you could tell right away that they were related, right? Well, something happened to my friend's uncle. It seemed that in North Korea, in certain parts of North Korea, if they found that you had Christian relatives or you had relatives from America, it was counted against you. It was negative. It didn't help your social climb in the society. So the uncle had a second heart. He had cold feet. He told the authorities, well, I don't have a brother who went to America or who went to South Korea and who went to America during the war. So my friend was very disappointed that his uncle wouldn't appear. But a man came into the hotel, and my friend Matt went out to meet him. And right away, as I saw their profiles, I could tell they were related. I mean, you couldn't tell me that they were not related, and he was his uncle. Of course, his uncle said, well, you know, I'm not sure you're my nephew, but words didn't really matter because you could tell right away that you had a family resemblance. My friend and his uncle spent a wonderful several hours together sharing information that of a family that had been separated for 40 years. It reminded me that oftentimes, even in our world, families get separated. And I thought about our faith as Christians. When people see us, do they see a resemblance of God in us? You know, Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Thessalonica, which probably was his first church that he established in Europe, He said something wonderful to this church. He was so worried about this first church that he sends his friend Timothy and Silas to check out the church. And then he writes a letter after he receives a report from his friends. And he tells them, because of you, the Lord's message has spread everywhere in those regions. Now the news of your faith in God is known all over the world, and we don't have to say a thing about it. In other words, to me, Apostle Paul is saying, God has a fourth book that he has in the world. He has a book of nature, the books about Jesus in the Gospels. He has the whole scriptures. But now, he has a living book. You who believe in God, we are the message, the best promo that God has in the world. And Jesus gives us the perfect Father's Day sermon in the Sermon on the Mount. Like parent, like child, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, like God, like you, he says. Matthew 5:48 says, be like your Father in heaven. Be perfect, of course, and we get hung up with that word perfect. But in the context of what Jesus is saying, we know exactly what he's talking about. He's saying we are called to be merciful, to be generous, to be open, to be accepting. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said, become perfected in your love. That's how he interpreted it. Eugene Peterson says it this way. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives towards you. Is it possible to live this way? Is it possible for us to be the resemblance of God in our world? I don't know, maybe you think, well, that's your job, Pastor. You're supposed to tell us about God. But this world really doesn't trust pastors that much because they think we work for the church. They are religious workers. But when they see you, and when you say, I believe in God, they are looking for their resemblance. They are saying, now that's what Jesus said. How are they living this out? This is not a true story, but I read this. Where are you from? Someone asked Jesus. From the heavens, Jesus replied. Don't blaspheme, they exclaimed. We know you are from Nazareth. There are heavens in Nazareth, Jesus replied. We are the fourth book that claims that the world that we live in is God's heaven. Because where God is, there is heaven. Peace of heaven on earth. I hope that this week, as you celebrate Father's Day, as we celebrate the summer solstice, God's gift to us, I hope that when people look at you, they might be able to say, hey, look, like God, like human being, like God, like you. May we know that we are loved and that this world is looking, is seeking for people, for the message from above. May we become the message this week. Thanks be to God for the good news that has come to us. Amen.